and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 56. This week, we've got some... I mean, the best way to describe it is just train wrecks, because, like, all the train wrecks were yesterday in the DCEU and American Gods worlds. Mm-hmm. I'm not invested in either one.
That's lucky.
Anyway, I've got a review of the new Hulu drama, The First, and then are we just going to start? Maybe we should just call it that, like the K-drama corner.
Yeah, we can do the K-drama corner.
We basically always talk about K-dramas at some point now. As much as we were like, let's do something foreign, and it's become just K-dramas, which is fine.
Hey, The First is foreign.
That's true. The First is foreign. I was going to point that out when we talked about it.
Meteor Garden is a Chinese
term. Yeah, Meteor Garden is Chinese.
That's
look
true.
At that. There you go.
I'm being a horrible person because I'm forgetting that... It's not all the same. That's because I don't watch K-dramas, because I don't have time. You do have to put more time into...
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't be doing this now, but you do have to put more time into it when it has the subtitles.
Yes,
the only thing
that's true.
Sucks.
That's true. Because you really do have to play around on your phone for 10 minutes. Because then you'd be like, wait a second,
I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My friend, who actually is the one who got me into K-dramas, stopped watching them because she went to grad school and then, like, PhD... I guess.
PhD school?
It's too much work for her. Right. Like, she's busy all day, she reads all day. You know,
and she doesn't want to read in the evening when she's watching television.
No more reading.
I don't blame her. My mom can't read. Oh. The subtitles go too fast,
okay,
so she can't.
Okay, you stopped it. Oh, my mom can't read. Oh. Uh-oh.
She's got dyslexia, so it actually it makes it difficult for her to read subtitles. Anyway.
Yes.
By the way, I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
And before we actually get into the actual conversation, we had a couple of comments.
Yeah, we had two comments, so thank you guys.
Yay! From it's nice to know somebody's actually, like, paying attention to what we're saying, even if it is to correct us on things. But that's okay. We wanted to address those comments. So one of them was a clarification on our Captain Marvel Kree confusion last week.
One person said, Kree have different coloring. Marvel is a pink Kree. If I remember correctly, there's pink and blue. So that is why...
That explains it. Okay, thank you very much.
Blue.
We appreciate that, because, you know, this just tells me I need to read more
comics.
More comics, but, like, more of the actual mainstream comics, as opposed to, because I have read the comics, but, like, what? Jessica Jones is the most mainstream comic I've read.
Right.
So
you're pretty
this
out
is my
there
problem.
On the fringe.
Yes. Yeah.
We just got done saying, you don't have enough time for things that involve reading.
Yeah. You need comic audiobooks.
Yes.
Like, it just gives you the dialogue, and it also, like, describes the background.
Don't they have
of each
those moving ones, and that's basically what that is?
They must,
those motion comics, whatever. That's basically what that is, except that then again, it's reading.
Yeah.
Yes, I love reading, except I don't actually read very much. I listen to audiobooks a lot.
There you go.
So, yes. Oh, someday I need to just sit and, like, these are my favorite audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
We should totally do that sometime.
That is a good idea.
So next time we don't have enough topics, I'll just be like, this is one of the audiobooks I've listened to 5,000 times. Okay. And...
Yes. And our other comment was about Meteor Garden.
Okay.
So this listener said that the last two or three episodes were kind of disappointing because it seemed like a last-minute plot, which I think it was, because I remember first it said it was going to be 45 episodes, and then suddenly it was 49 episodes, and I was like, what has happened here?
So they just added some crap in?
I bet they just added some random extra thing for more episodes. I have no idea what that ending is, because I'm not there yet. I'm still... I have no idea what you're
still
talking about.
On it.
But I bet you it was a last-minute plot. And she's... I assume it is she. You could be a he. You could be anything. I always hated the amnesia plot they had, so at first I liked how they did that, but then I wasn't feeling what they did in the second to last episode. But overall, I like the show and would watch it again in the future. Well, I'm glad that overall you like the show, so that I can continue watching it and not give up with, like, 15 episodes.
How far?
I just finished episode 28 out of 49.
Okay,
so
when you get to the end,
yes,
you'll have to let us know.
I will let you know. I will let you know.
What you think of it.
Yeah.
Actually, thinking about starting Meteor Garden.
Do it! Shansai just broke up with Sif for, like, 30th time.
He's very upset.
Yes, you'll beat me. You'll beat me. And I'll still be like, wait, I'm not even at amnesia yet.
I'll try.
I believe in you.
All right.
So now on to the actual topics.
We're going to start with the train wrecks. And yesterday was just, like, I woke up to the Henry Cavill's not Superman anymore. And I was like, great, what are you doing, DC? Like,
you know that, like, I have to laugh gif? Where yeah. she just, like, takes off the glasses. Like, she's reading, takes off the glasses, it's just, like, laughter. Like, that's me.
It's yeah. just
when I think about DC movies.
Well, and then the worst part is it's, okay, so obviously sources say, so mm-hmm. we don't, like, who's saying.
Right.
But for the most part, most of this crap when it comes out about the DC stuff, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, most of it's true anyway. Mm-hmm. When it's these things come out, but most of the time,
where DC smoke, there's fire, yeah. right?
And then there was, what, a tweet from Cavill's manager saying the cape's still in his closet or something, and mm-hmm. there will be a statement from Warner Brothers later. But the Warner Brothers statement, like, it just, to me, it reads as, hi, this is Damage Control. Mm-hmm. We aren't firing him, but we don't have any plans to make another movie anytime soon.
Yeah.
And by the time we do, he'll probably have aged out of the role.
Right.
Thanks. That's what the statement reads to me, because mm-hmm. They're not saying we're replacing him, but that's not because they don't want to replace him. It's just they're not making a Superman movie, so they don't have to replace him right now.
Yeah.
Because what they're making is a Supergirl movie, mm-hmm. and they're going to do it with the comics continuity, which is that she gets to Earth first, correct?
Like, I feel like that must be, like, the classic continuity. Because, yeah. like, as far as I know, the current continuity is the way that it is in the Supergirl show, which is where she was supposed to come first, but she got trapped in the Phantom Zone, and then it comes later.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know, like, it's possible that
What I always knew is that she's not even from Krypton, she's from Argon, and he goes and he's, like, exploring the ruins of Krypton, and then goes to Argo.
Yes, Argo is where she's from. I just thought that Argo was part of Krypton. I thought it was a different city on Krypton. And, like,
Argo was, like, a planet that was in, like, near Krypton, and it was, by the explosion of Krypton, pushed it out of its orbit.
Oh, okay.
So it, like, froze, and she was in, like, she and her family went into, like, cryogenic chambers, but the other ones broke, but hers was fine. So, like, when Superman goes out of space, although I should caveat, I don't know if this is from the comics at all, this was the Superman the Animated Series that aired in the 90s.
I mean, she is from Argo, so that part is correct. But she is yeah. also Superman's cousin. So,
yeah.
Okay.
She was sent first, though. I thought, wasn't there
She was sent first, yes.
Wasn't there a story, though, where she does wake up, but she never becomes, she doesn't become Supergirl, but she's awake
mm-hmm.
before he gets...
Maybe? Wasn't there a reference?
Or before, while he's growing up.
Clearly, we're really...
Clearly, we should just not be talking about these things. I thought you were the DC person.
I'm like a baby. I know the baby okay. DC things.
All right.
But I don't know the oldest, like, I'm about to Google it, because I think right, that it's important.
Let's Google it.
Kara Zor-El.
What I didn't understand about all of this was that, like, I feel like before all of this news broke, if uh-huh. you had asked anybody, who cares, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, if you walked up to them and thought, like, what do you think DC's Superman plans were, they were like, there aren't any.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they didn't just stay with that. Like, why make these announcements?
Exactly. I mean, I think it's more like it was, like,
it's,
a leak,
it's
right?
It's Damage Control.
Yeah.
Because some sources say. So, the story is that there was supposed to be a cameo mm-hmm. by Cavill as Superman in Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't work out the schedule. They kept going back and forth, and it's not clear if now The Witcher got in the way, or he took The Witcher because they couldn't figure out anything and they weren't making any plans, and he's not just going to sit on his ass and wait for them.
Right.
Which, I don't blame him. He's not going to be in Shazam. That sounds like it's confirmed. Well, they didn't confirm that, but it sounds like that's basically confirmed. And to be honest, it's doubtful that he's ever going to play Superman again, is what I'm getting.
Yeah. Which is so, like, I mean, like, I don't like Henry Cavill as Superman.
Yeah.
Mostly because of how he was written. I mean, I'm sure that he could have done a better job with a better writing.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not, like, sad to lose him, but once you've established, you know, him, like, he was, like, the first member of the Justice League, if you will.
He was supposed to basically turn into their Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Like, tying all the movies together somehow.
And they clearly did not do that.
Yeah.
And then they tried to do it for 3 seconds with Batman, and then Ben Affleck crapped out. So, yeah. Like,
because then today, it's Batman's definitely out. Because, did you guys see the picture that's going on? Like, I know Rob Liefeld posted it, where it's a picture of the entire Justice League.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Cast. And, Cavill and Affleck are on the right-hand side, mm-hmm. and they're like, fading out, like they were by the snap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, like, I saw that. That was hilarious.
It still makes more sense to me, based on the continuity, in air quotes, continuity, that they've established that if anybody would be organizing a team, it would be Wonder Woman.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. Okay, and because I am a DC genius, it does say that, so Kara is Superman's cousin, and Argo is part of Krypton, but it's a city that survived the destruction. It was, like, closed off from the destruction of Krypton. And then her parents sent her to Earth to be raised by her cousin, Kal-El.
Oh,
That Superman animated series that I saw had a different origin then.
I mean, that's the hard thing. They like to change the origins many times. So it's like, well, is there really an
Right, because even that isn't the same as the Supergirl TV origin. Like, that's the closest to Supergirl TV, but that one she was sent to protect him, and then it got switched because she got trapped in the Phantom Zone. So.
And so what I looked up is the Easter egg in Man of Steel, so this is actually, like, DCEU, was that when Clark goes into that scout ship that he turns into the Fortress of Solitude later, you see, like, four cryos.
Yes, I remember. And,
like, three of them have skeletons, but one is open and there's no skeleton.
I remember
Okay.
That's right, I remember that.
So that's...
I only saw that movie once because I really, really didn't like
it. Yeah, I only saw it once, too. I remember being like, oh, Supergirl. Like, that's literally...
Yeah.
The only thing I remember later is that there was a Supergirl-related Easter egg.
Yes, there you go. That's right. Yeah, it's hard because it's like... DC, obviously... Because there was also some kind of Warner Brothers executive, like, phone call or meeting or something... Mm-hmm. Where they basically said that there are obviously things they could do better, like, with DC.
And I'm glad that they know that.
And it's, the hard part is, like, they seem to want to reboot.
Yeah.
But they can't completely.
Right.
Because the problem is you've already, like, Wonder Woman, people would be upset if you didn't give us more of that Wonder Woman. If you try and be like, well... Like, although, to be honest, if they want to really reboot, that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
If they're going to try and tie them together. But I don't know if they're going to tie them together at all anymore, is what it's starting to sound like.
Right. Would people really be upset if they rebooted everything else and kept that Wonder Woman?
Right.
Like, I don't think anybody would care.
Just, like, re-release Wonder Woman without the Batman bookends. And then go from there, you know? Be like,
no one would care. I would be like, okay, we will erase all of, Diana in the modern day, because that was all fine.
Right.
But we didn't care. Like, I think everybody would agree to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, compromise.
Yeah. Yeah, what's funny, when Tatiana got here, I was watching, because Henry Cavill actually put up a, like, video on Instagram, which nobody can understand, because it's just him... in a black shirt that says, like, Krypton Lifting Club or something. And he just, from the bottom of the frame, lifts up a Superman doll into frame. And then slowly lowers it back down.
He was Superman for a time. And now he's not.
Yeah, I know, that's right? I think that's what I'm getting to. It's like, it's probably not happening, guys. Today was exciting, is all he said.
Oh.
And it was like, yeah. He's never going to be Superman again.
Right.
I just don't think there's any chance he is.
Yeah. Like I said, like, I was...
Nobody's... Well, there's very few people who are going to be that upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really cares. And the stupidest thing WB and DC did was decide that Zack Snyder was your guy who was going to run this whole universe.
Yeah.
And let him establish... It was a really bad idea, and they just... When it became clear it was a bad idea, instead they doubled down.
Right. They should have switched after Man of Steel.
They should have switched.
But since they didn't, they've made it even, I guess, more confusing or worse by muddling the waters, switching out the Vision halfway through, if you will, whatever. And then now it's like flopping around, not knowing what they're going to do, announcing a different thing every week.
Yes. And then when it became clear that it was a problem, they should have stopped.
Yeah.
Don't announce anything.
Exactly. Just don't acknowledge anything. Take a breather. Yeah.
Let the rumors come out and just sit there and be like, okay, what do we need to do?
Exactly.
But instead they seem to be, let's let rumors out and see how people react and then make our decisions based on the reaction. And it's like, that's not a smart thing.
Nope.
Not in the big picture. You can do it with, like, little things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's now a rumor that they're looking at Michael B. Jordan to play Superman.
Right.
Which... I agree with the person who said that that actually might be coming from WB, but it's not true.
Right.
It's more of a...
They just want
let's just, like, diffuse the uproar.
Right.
And, which is, you know... Because people love Michael B. Jordan and would be pretty much about happy to see him do anything. Right. Like, they'll just stare at him on screen for 2 hours, like... I don't know.
And then it gives him that little, like, oh, we're good, we're trying to be, you know, we're pushing the envelope, we're being, yeah. I'm like, which, I mean, my friend had, like, she had, like, this whole spiel about, you know, if Michael B. Jordan or any black man was Superman, and how that allegory makes so much more sense, Superman as a black man, right? And I was like, yes, it does, but they're not gonna do it. So, I don't know, you know? Like, I wish, but, you know.
My friend Lewis, who runs, Nerd Report,
Nuke the Fridge?
Nuke the Fridge. Put up a thing saying that it really should be a Latino.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else was refugee. Like...
Right. Any immigrant, any refugee or other...
Somebody was like, if you want to be like, it's really an American, it should be a Native American. I was like, it shouldn't be a white person. It's because it should not be a white guy.
For him to be protecting, like, the Jesus narrative, right? Like, people that hate you. Like, you're saving people that hate you.
Yeah.
Like, but they're not gonna, you know.
Probably not.
Yeah. So
Superman's not the character they're gonna
write.
Would we even trust the DCEU that we know right?
Right,
now
you would have to be
to
totally
that?
Revamped like, version. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
if we went a few phases back when Rick Famuyiwa was still there when he was gonna do Flash, if he was doing Superman, I would trust him to do any Superman of color or, you know, an actual immigrant story with Superman. But, you know, then they fired him because it was too multicultural, so whatever.
I just want someone else to have the rights to Superman at this point. Like, I want someone else's Superman so badly. Like,
yes. My favorite thing that I've seen, like, is still the best thing that could happen is DC characters, as if Marvel got hold of them.
Yes, yeah.
It's true, because they're the only ones who I think might know what to do with them.
it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't understand. Like, there's so many people that love DC and love their characters. Like, why are
they
you guys
have amazing
so,
characters?
Yeah, like, why are you guys having so much trouble with this? It's not rocket science.
The DC animated universe is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't they poach some of that talent? Like, some of that storytelling talent.
And you've obviously had really
all of them have been great, but they're doing a hell of a lot better than
even the Lego movies. Like, those, like, direct to video Lego DC movies are doing better than...
Well, and Matt still says the Lego Batman movie is the best Batman movie that was ever made. Because he's like, it's the most, like, true to character, and that actually gets the mythos of Lego, like, of Batman.
The
it's
only
silly.
Thing that is wrong is Bruce hitting on Batgirl.
Well, yeah.
But aside from that,
yeah,
yes, I agree.
I mean, the Batman the Animated Series, there was some implied... That I did not approve of, even as, like, a 13-year-old.
It was wrong. I was like, it was disgusting. But yes.
Yeah.
I guess sort of related to all of this, and DC Trash Fire in general, is I think DC Universe is supposed to open this weekend. And
is it? Yeah, I guess it is like, September 9th.
Except for my brother, who will not stop asking me if I will get a DC Universe subscription. And I was like, it's, like, $80, right? Like, no.
For a year, yeah.
That's not bad for a year.
Yeah,
but we don't know what's going to be on
exactly.
it, so.
For just Titans, which new Titans stills came out.
There's not even, like, any of the new stuff yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like, yeah, they posted stills for Titans, and I will say, they posted Dick Grayson facing off with Jason Todd, and I couldn't tell which was which.
I thought the same thing, like, which one's supposed to be who? I don't know who's
And then I decided the shorter one was probably Jason Todd, because Jason Todd is younger, so...
Yeah.
You know, shorter equals younger. That's all I got. I was like, they look like twins. I don't know what's happening.
It is, yeah, it's funny. And Batman has a type?
Yeah, he has a type. Plus, they already gave Dick Jason's personality in the trailer. So I was like, do we need Jason? Like,
that's why they're facing off. Dick is like stealing. He's like,
stop trying to copy me.
Exactly.
You steal your thing and now you have to go away.
Like I invented brooding and hating Batman. Okay, Dick. It's not your wrong job.
You're supposed to idolize him, man.
Exactly. I snap villains' necks, not you. And then Dick's like, we snap them together, bros. So.
I'm sure this is a much more interesting version of these characters than we're actually going to get in that show.
I will say, though, that even though I'm actually kind of mad that they won't release what Starfire is actually going to look like, aside from that, like, disco outfit that she's got on, which drives me nuts, But at least in the now, the new photos they finally released, I'm like, well, this looks better. You know, like, I actually, you know, can buy this.
Yeah.
But I'm still mad at them for not releasing something official way back when she was getting all that hate for their they stupid set. They really should have. Ugh, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, DC. All aspects of
all
DC.
All aspects. Except for the animated universe. You can stay.
Yeah.
Well, and the comics. You're doing fine.
On the subject of train wrecks.
Yeah.
Same day, we found that American Gods is imploding. Like, it didn't already, right? Because they lost
their showrunners. Like, we had heard that, yeah, the showrunners had gone. And I didn't know what had happened with them. I just knew that they were off.
Yeah, it wasn't really clear what had happened.
I figured it was over, like, contract, like, they wanted more money, or they wanted more money for the show. It wasn't clear if it was for them or for the show.
Oh, like, budget issues?
Yeah.
Huh.
But,
I mean, I will say, like, Brian Fuller's most successful show is the only one I haven't seen, because, like, Hannibal doesn't appeal to me. I've seen all of his other shows, mm-hmm. like, close to when they all aired. He rarely finishes out a show.
Yeah.
So it actually really is not that surprising to me that he left. Like, Wonder Falls, Dead Like Me.
But it's not his fault.
It lasts more than, like, two seasons.
It's not his fault, usually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in the last few years, what he was going to do, I was so excited when he was supposed to be doing the Vampire Chronicles, mm-hmm. and now he's off that.
Star Trek?
He was on Star Trek.
That's right.
Before it aired, and then he lost that.
So that part might be a little bit more on the Fuller side of things.
It's hard to know.
But now that it is. There's a second one.
I mean,
one.
There's obviously something about him that people still try to work with him, but what is it that they don't want to continue?
Yeah,
he is the night. Like, I've met him. He is so nice. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's just it's his creative vision. Just
maybe
never
his ideas
worked.
Are too out there. Or whatever. His,
because I mean, Wonderfalls, like you mentioned, is one of my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. But it's like 13 episodes. It never got anywhere. It was probably never gonna get anywhere. But that's the sucky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now it would
be too
work.
Expensive because that's kind of the sense I got. Like. Still, it sounded like there was more, maybe, drama, but it sounded like some of it was that, like, the first season was really over budget, and he wasn't going to rein that down. And I could see that being a problem with all of his previous shows. So, like, people want, because he's so creative, but, like, he's not willing to, like, compromise, maybe.
That makes sense.
Which would fit into what I'm hearing about what the problem is now for American Gods,
mm-hmm.
which I, you know... A friend told me that basically everything they're hearing is that Neil Gaiman doesn't want to compromise.
Yeah.
And that Fremantle are bending over backwards to please him. And, he doesn't want to see anything that's, like, not in the book. Which is like, well, okay, but the book only gets you so far.
Right.
You have to be able to expand beyond it.
And I'm ready to fight Neil Gaiman over that because the book does not do well by its women at all.
Ha ha! So true. So true.
I've not read it.
The second that they were clearly committed. And I remember reading a quote from him being like, oh, like, they came to me and they wanted to expand Laura's character and they wanted to expand the female characters. And I thought to myself, oh, I'd always wanted to do that. And I was like, why didn't you?
Right. Yeah. Why didn't you do that, dummy?
Like, we wrote a whole sequel. And it was about dudes still.
So he obviously didn't want to expand that badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like maybe he didn't want to expand it at all, if that stuff is true.
Yeah.
Like, I like Neil Gaiman's writing a lot, but I'm like, I feel like he has a lot of experience in adaptations. I guess I would want to know what he's resisting them changing, because, like, a book is a book, and a show is a show. Like, they're different. You have to change some things. Like, they're different mediums.
Yeah. It sounds like there's an issue, from what I read, it seems like there's a big issue with the finale.
Yes, they don't have a finale.
Yeah.
The rumor is that they have written 7 versions of the finale, and they're never happy with it.
So maybe...
And that there were screaming matches with Ian McShane on set.
Oh my god.
And it's just... a train wreck, which is why I thought it was funny that I then got an email today about how American Gods is going to be at New York Comic Con. Yeah. I'm like, wow, I don't look forward to, like, I want to be in that press room, but that's going to be awkward as fuck.
How far into filming are they, then?
I think they filmed everything, they just have to do the finale?
That's crazy. So it must be, like, the way that I imagine it is that, like, there's one kind of ending that would be, like, the ending of the book, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that maybe that's what Neil Gaiman wants, I don't know. And then there's like, but we would like to continue the show, so we have to have something else happen. Yeah. You know?
I don't remember. Like, how far did they get in season one? Like, where did that end?
Season one ends with them meeting at the House of Things. Where the battle is going to begin! What?
There's still a lot left then. Like, season two does not have to end with the finale. But well, then,
I don't...
That would be rushing, depending on how many seasons or episodes there are.
But I don't... Because I'm trying to think, like, what else it would be that would cause Neil Gaiman specifically to, you know...
Yeah.
Have...
I think, like, one of the things that's always hard about adapting a novel or any kind of written story is that, and I, you know, okay, we're going back to Marvel on this, but, like, and this is the thing that it works with Feige, that he's able to look at the story and it's like, okay, this is what you need. This is the heart. This is what's important about the story.
Mm-hmm.
And you can change things to either modernize it or just tweak it to work for a different medium, but not everyone seems to be able to do that. And right. maybe that's a hard thing for the person who actually created it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to try and please them, you know, maybe he doesn't understand TV as well as he thinks he does.
Right. Right.
You know, he's written for TV, but
his work has been adapted kind of a lot.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, you would think that he would be used to that by now.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make me a little curious as to, well, what exactly are they changing then?
I don't know what...
Or maybe it's all gone to his head, who knows?
Yeah. Well, and it's doing... I don't even know what he's thought about things that have been adapted of his in the past. Like, I don't remember reading anything about what he thought about Stardust.
Right. Or
which was a... they changed Coraline. A lot. I think he likes Coraline.
Yeah.
And then Mirror Mask was written for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, is this the first time with, like, long-form adaptation, maybe? Like, TV?
That might be it.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's, like, one thing, like, it's much easier in a movie to just be, like, you know, this to this.
Yeah, that's
But then
true.
When you're going through it, and when he's got as much creative control as I assume he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's heavily involved in Good Omens, and that isn't out yet, so...
Yeah, that's having a big premiere at New York Comic Con as well, which should be interesting. And that one, I know, he's basically showrunner, I think, on that show.
Oh, wow.
And that one is different because that was the one he co-wrote with Terry Pratchett.
Yes.
And he felt like he owed Terry Pratchett because I think they had some kind of agreement that he wouldn't let it be destroyed.
Yeah.
So it's not even just his. But it's also a different, you know, what, American Gods is developed for Stars.
Yeah.
Good Omens is developed for the BBC and Amazon, right? Yeah. But I think it's always hard because it's like, as much as Stars is not one of the traditional networks, it's still an American network and they may have a different vision of what they want than...
That's true.
Because the, you know, Amazon lets you do play a little bit more and the BBC is much more open to all kinds of... Because they don't have viewers that they have. Or, I mean, they don't have investors.
They have no viewers now.
Well,
they don't have investors, they don't have advertisers they have
to please. So that makes a big difference in what kind of product they're producing, I would say.
Didn't I read something about how they, like, had to give Orlando Jones a writer's credit so they wouldn't get in trouble with the Writers Guild?
On American Gods? I don't know.
Really?
Like, basically, like, some other scriptwriters left and then you need, like, a Writers Guild scriptwriter.
Oh, I did not know about that. Wild.
Let me look that up.
I don't know, man. All I know is I did not watch the first season of that show because I don't have Stars. And I don't know, man. I heard great things about that first season, and I now own it because I got it free somewhere. But
it was good. You're talking about American Gods season one, right?
Yeah.
It was really good.
But then by the time I got it, they had already started with all the problems on the second season.
Like,
so I was
this
like,
is falling apart.
Do I really want to invest in this when I'm not sure what's going to be the outcome of, like, I don't even know if they're going to get more.
Right.
Could the first season work on its own?
I think so. I mean, well, the problem is it's just, like, revving up to something that you're not going to get, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the big meeting takes place in the finale, and then there's obviously more.
Yeah.
So you'd want to continue. I think it's funny because, like, I like Laura, and as a, like, a really messed up, like, convoluted character or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a flawed female heroine, if you want to call, not really heroine, anti-heroine, I don't know, whatever you want to call her.
Uh-huh.
But I did remember thinking that, like, in the second half of the first season, there was, like, this, like, basically, like, road trip deviation with, like, Mad, I don't remember his name. What's his name? Mad-Eye? I'm going to call him Mad-Eye Moody. I know that's not his name. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. I was him as a character I wasn't that interested in.
Exactly. So, the Mad Hatter, whatever his name is, he's some kind of mad.
Him? Yeah,
thank you, Mad Sweeney. So Laura and Mad Sweeney having their little, like, detour, and he's, like, in love with her or something, and I'm like, I don't like this, because it feels very much like, let's give her more story with him, and then have people ship that, and I was like, nope, take it back. So that part I could do without. If Neil Gaiman wants to take out that part, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's true. So exactly, I would want to know what he's objecting to. Apparently, so the Hollywood Reporter said, after some actors, including star Ian McShane, began taking passes at improving dialogue, the production was forced to enlist co-star Orlando Jones as a writer on the series, so a member of the WGA would be credited with writing instead of having actors violating guild rules.
Oh.
And that's confusing to me, because don't actors improv
improv all the time. That's super weird.
Yeah, like,
I don't know.
How much were they improving that was needed?
Maybe that's the problem. Because I'm like, there's a story that, like, because the end of Infinity War, the scene with Spider-Man and Iron Man,
Tom just said that, right?
Yeah, Tom Holland improvised that, and the reports are that was so well done that they want Holland and Robert Downey Jr. to improvise the scene when he comes back. Because...
See, that's cool. So yeah, that's a little strange to me. And so like,
that happens.
You know, I know The Flash, but that's all I know in my life. Just kidding. But Carlos Valdez, like, literally half of Cisco's lines are just Carlos saying whatever. And
which
I know
makes sense,
Tom,
and I, like,
I know
that.
Tom Cavanaugh makes up half the things he says. So,
yeah, so I have no idea. That's a weird line by The Hollywood Reporter, so we will ignore it.
Yeah.
That does seem strange. Maybe there's some rule that there has to be a writer present, and they didn't have one that was on set.
Oh, maybe that would make sense. Like, maybe there has to be a writer there, because I know that writers go visit the set when it's filming. So maybe
that's it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They have one. That's kind of weird.
That is really weird. So basically, it's a train wreck, and who the heck knows what's going to happen? But in a month, they're going to be at New York Comic Con. So I hope they have some kind of answer, because they're going to get very much grilled by the press.
They don't even know right now when it's going to be on. Right, just 2019 sometime.
Yeah. You'd think they'd just be like, maybe we should just not go, like, just take Outlander.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just don't do...
Unless, like, they plan to have something, you know, to announce there.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yep, we will.
I suppose. In other news, I don't even know which... Well, let's go for Venom.
Venom!
Just random. The movie I have no desire to see, but then again, I don't want to see Aquaman either. But apparently it's going PG-13, which some people are disappointed by, but it doesn't really seem that surprising to me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's not like it's Deadpool, where, like, PG-13, you can get away with a decent amount of violence.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was reading an article earlier that was speculating.
Wait, people are upset that it's not R?
Yes. Because they were hoping...
Okay.
That because it's not tied into the MCU, and it doesn't have Spider-Man in it, that they could just go, like, full crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but it's Sony. They still own Spider-Man.
This
is still the company that, like, Amy Pascal didn't seem to know what she was talking about when she said, well, maybe he could? Spider-Man could show up? Maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, if that's the case, they kind of have to keep it, because, you know...
Yeah, if Spider-Man could show up, then you don't want him to show up in our movie.
Yeah. If there's a chance that they could someday work them together, which, God forbid, because I think it looks terrible and I'm hoping it just goes away. But, if there's even a shot that they could integrate the two of them, they were never going to go full.
Yeah.
And, the thing with Venom is the way that he kills, from what I've seen in the trailers, you don't have to have lots of blood and gore, which... You can actually still kill people and do really horrible things without the blood and gore.
Right, and you can just make it creepy.
Like, in which case, PG-13 works.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like the comics are R, and they have all sorts of creepy, you know, slurping up people. So, yeah, just...
Yeah, I'm not...
Just
I don't know why
curse
people...
less and eat more.
Yeah. You can still curse!
Yeah.
I mean, Spider-Man's the one who says holy shit in Civil War, so he has, like, the best...
There you go.
That's, like, the best line. Is his reaction to Giant Man. So, obviously, you can still curse, just not cursing every other word, like mm-hmm. Deadpool. Nobody... Did anybody actually expect it to be Deadpool just not breaking the fourth wall? Is that what they thought?
I don't know why you would think that, you know? It's, like, it's not even the same company.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah,
I feel like it's just the same kind of people who have this obsession with grimdark, and things aren't serious if they're not,
mm-hmm.
yes,
whatever, dark enough, and R means dark, and yada, 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 I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, people are dumb.
We transition into, the Clarissa, not Clarissa.
Oh my god! Clarissa explains it all.
What's hilarious is I keep forgetting when I'm like Sabrina, I always think Clarissa. So it actually makes me feel good because I'm like, that's right. No, she did that other show. That's hilarious because I totally grew up on Clarissa Explains It All. So I often get confused because when people are talking about, like, is it Harvey in...
Yeah, Harvey.
In Sabrina.
Yeah.
I get confused and I think of the character, her, like, her friend in Clarissa, and I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like, oh, no, wrong show, Valerie. That's funny. That's hilarious.
But yeah, so we got a trailer. We got our first trailer, Glimpse at Sabrina. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah, which everybody's just calling Sabrina.
Yeah, but the trailer was chilling indeed.
It was actually a lot darker than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Which I guess is good. I mean, it looks interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had the... sort of like a similar vibe to like the early Riverdale trailers, where like, this is,
yeah,
you know, Gossip Girl Depression Hours with but with murder, so like, this is that but with magic now, right? Murder and magic.
I did watch.
I just don't understand why it's necessary,
right?
Like, how many shows like that, you're even mentioning like Riverdale immediately or Gossip Girl, like how many shows like that do we have versus like you get to have, like, doesn't necessarily have to be lighthearted, but, like, not all serious teenage witch. Like,
Right.
I guess if you don't make it different enough, then what's the point in rebooting it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the point is, Sabrina is basically a spinoff of Riverdale.
Right.
Because, well, it does...
It won't be now? Because it takes place in the 60s.
Oh.
So,
but it's the same, well, it's the town.
Is it the same town?
Yeah, because remember that part where the whole story with Jughead and the dope run? That's the town. That's her town.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
It's across the river.
Her town's across the river, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that Riverdale was her town.
Also. No, it's okay, Greendale? Yes,
Greendale, yeah. It's across the river, yeah.
Yes. It's just across, like, the river.
Mm-hmm.
From.
Yeah. Riverdale. So there'll be, like, I'm sure there'll be, like, some, you know, some kind of commentary or whatever, you know, like,
but
maybe.
But it's in the 60s. That's actually better. Because I thought it was going to be at the same time, and I was like, if Jughead shows up, I'm like, and I like Cole Sprouse, but no.
Yeah, but no, it's thankfully, it's separated, you know.
That's actually, yeah, that actually makes it more interesting. I didn't realize that. Somehow I missed that part of the information.
I guess I just wanted, like, modern magical stuff, but, like, less cheese than the original, but, you know. The Melissa Joan Hart Sabrina
original
series,
in our hearts.
We'll get to have higher production values and not a terrible puppet cat. And, like,
Salem
know,
is iconic.
Kind of, like,
oh my
idea,
god,
like,
Salem.
He needs delivery service only.
Yes. No, I agree. I mean,
like, in America, that's kind of what I was hoping for.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't going to be that just because I knew it was some people's Riverdale. So, like, obviously they want to make things melodramatic,
yeah.
Depression Hours. But I...
there's a reason I stopped watching Riverdale.
Right. But I did, like, that is what I love about Sabrina. So, I mean, you know, I'm not, like, personally excited about this version of Sabrina, but I know I'm going to watch it. I'm going to give it a season.
I probably will watch it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the nice thing about Netflix, too, where it's just there and you're like, okay, I can just binge it one day.
Exactly. Now, do we know that it's going to be binged or is it going to be released weekly? Because they are starting to release some things weekly.
That's a very good question. I don't know. Let's find out.
I might get what I want still from that Bewitched reboot.
That's right. They are doing Bewitched, and that's from the Blackish creator, right? So you're definitely going to get what you want out of that.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
I like, yeah.
Sounds really good. It says, Samantha, a black, hard-working single mom who happens to be a witch, marries Darren, a white mortal who happens to be a bit of a slacker. They struggle to navigate their differences as she discovers that even while when a black girl is literally magic, mm-hmm. she's still not as powerful as a decently tall white man with a full head of hair in America.
Yeah.
So I would not that. Necessarily trust that from other creators.
Right. Right.
Although, wait, they, like, he's going to Netflix now, so, like, it says he sold that story. Like, is he still going to be involved, or did he just steal the, or sell the idea and leave?
Oh, if he sold it, then it might be someone else who's taking it.
So I'm a little nervous about that.
But I'm sure he would sell it.
Typical white slacker dude married to this actually competent, beautiful woman on sitcom. I hate that trope. But it's going to depend on who does it.
Yes.
And whether or not, like, he might be a bit of a slacker, but if he treats her really well and loves her a lot, I can deal with that.
Right, right. I'm sure that he will, you know, love her a lot. Because it's a comedy, not, you know.
Well, but typical, but yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe, like, CBS is worse like this. But, you know, he's a slacker guy, and he loves her, but he doesn't treat her very well. Mm. You know that trope?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, yeah, I know it, but I also feel like it's kind of outdated now. Like, I don't feel like people do it anymore that much. Sure.
Yeah, I hope they won't.
But, so
maybe I'll get what I'm looking for from Sabrina from Bewitched instead, with extra interesting stuff.
Yes, with extra commentary.
I can't find information on Sabrina.
it might be, I'm only suggesting that they might do it weekly just because, you know, worldwide they also release Riverdale weekly on Netflix. Not here, obviously, because here's on the CW, but, so I would think they'd want to put it, like, with Riverdale, but it's possible that they'll just treat it like they do every other Netflix show.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, for me, I guess for me it doesn't really matter either way, because it's not like I'm going to sit down and watch 13 hours of Sabrina.
I probably won't watch it.
Netflix releases stuff weekly is when it's, like, not theirs, and so they have to wait for it to air.
I have a few, I think it's, it's so now,
then, for, then I just drop
it's
it.
Not, it's not elaborated in any of the press releases I'm looking at. So I'm guessing it's just a drop.
Okay.
October 26th. Which would make sense because it's right before Halloween.
It was because they had to wait for it to air.
Yeah. October 26th, so it's actually really close.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that makes sense with Halloween.
Yeah, it does. I just can't believe that we're almost there. It's almost happening now.
I know. It's September.
Yeah.
It's September 13th.
It's not just September. It's like the middle of September. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
What is happening? How did this...
This year has just flown by.
I don't feel like I accomplished anything this year, and it's really upsetting.
That is so sad and accurate for me as well. but no, like, I mean, and even just in terms of, like, Netflix and just TV, like, I forgot Iron Fist came out.
I know, me too.
So, you know.
At some point I'll watch it. And we may, by the way, like, speaking of Iron Fist, we may have a date for Daredevil.
Oh.
Because Netflix Thailand, I think it was.
Okay.
Accidentally put something out saying October 19th. And it's unless they're getting it before we are.
October 19th.
Yes.
So we really don't have a trailer for that.
We have a teaser. There's a quick teaser at the end of Iron Fist.
That doesn't count.
I haven't watched it yet, but yes.
If I have to watch Iron Fist to get it, it does not count. But yes.
I'm sure it's now on.
Iron Fist's fault that you forgot that season 2 came out.
It is. It is Iron Fist's fault.
If they made you anticipate it, you would have known.
That's true. That is 100% accurate.
Yeah. I still think it's sad.
Place. I'm counting down the days.
I still think it's sad that Iron Fist apparently has, like, it broke the tomato-ometer or whatever.
Okay.
Their, like, score for a season two.
Oh, really?
Going from, because of how bad the rating was for the first season, and then going to, it actually improved, like, hugely, but it's still rotten.
Right. That's so funny.
I think it was like 18% or something the first season. Now it's like 48, but that still makes it rotten. But that's a huge improvement.
Yeah.
But that's still not good.
That reminds, I definitely saw someone was like, yeah, season 2 is better than season 1. The way that stubbing your toe is better than, like, cutting your hand. And I was like, oh, that's great.
That's so sad. But hilarious at the same time. Yep. In other dark, creepy news.
Oh, yes.
Hulu has a series that's coming out that sounds really interesting to me. And I know Jessie, because she likes all the dark things on our site, is excited about it. It's called Into the Dark, which is a Blumhouse co-production, where they're going to release an episode every month.
Every month?
That's tied to a holiday.
Oh,
so
okay.
Scary. So they're going to completely destroy Easter, the Easter Bunny for you in some way, I'm sure. Because I'm like, okay, but, like, there's really obvious, okay, Halloween is when it's the first episode premieres in October.
Okay.
So it's for Halloween. And then there's one for Thanksgiving, which feels, I'm like, okay, it's still fall. I can see, like, dark. And
yeah.
There's been scary stories kind of tied to Christmas. I mean, mm-hmm. Doctor Who made, like, Christmas trees attack people.
Yeah.
So, I can see that, but I'm like, and then where do you go? I'm like,
what's like the Easter? January? What's the January holiday? New Year's?
New Year's? Yeah, probably. Something to do with New Year's.
February, Chinese
Is it
New
Martin
Year's?
Luther King Day?
It is February, I think.
Oh, is that February?
Would they really do a scary story with Martin Luther
King? I know, Day? That's the thing. I'm like, what are you, I'm trying to like, randomly, okay, President's Day? The presidents come back and actually just make a scary story about Trump. Like, there just put go. Trump in it there and that's you your scary story for President's Day.
I love it.
But like, the 4th of July? Like, things, I'm like, Memorial Day? Are you gonna do scary stories about, like, the wars? Somehow? Or something? I don't know. I feel like it's a stretch, and but it sounds like it's only gonna be for a year, because you're gonna run out of holidays unless you keep doing the same ones over and over again, I guess. You keep doing Halloween. I mean, they keep making Halloween movies.
You could always do Halloween.
They keep making Halloween movies, so I guess you can keep making different movies that, or different shows that are about Halloween. Which, by the way, apparently Halloween, the new one, is really good, but... Random aside.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I don't know. I think our last little bit of news is that His Dark Materials, which we talked about a few weeks ago, it finally has a UK or a US distributor because it's being produced by the BBC. It's already gotten a second season.
Oh, okay.
So the BBC has approved the second series. Happening. And now HBO is going to be distributing it in the US.
Oh.
So
we're going to be able to see it on HBO?
Yes. Eventually. I don't know when.
Okay. That's cool.
But, nice. I mean, it's like, they're filming now.
Right.
So it's going to be a while. But, Matt's favorite thing now, though, is, like, watching Lin-Manuel Miranda discover Cardiff, because it's so cute, because that's what they're filming in Wales, because it's a BBC Wales production. He loves watching him, because I was telling him the other day, I'm like, hey, look, there's a video of Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he went to Porter's Bar, and Matt's like, or the pub. He's like, oh yeah, I know where that is. I've been there. And I was like, okay, well, there's a video of him singing a song from Les Mis because he went and he like sang in the middle of. I was like, can you imagine your local pub in Cardiff where nothing happens?
I mean,
I love Cardiff, but it's small town. Mm-hmm. Like, it's small town without being a small town. Right. It's a city. It's a capital, but it feels like a small town. It's like college town. Anyway, and yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda is like there.
Yeah, that would make my life.
I know, right? I'm like, this is why we should move back to Cardiff. Anyway, but I'm just happy because everything about His Dark Materials makes me happy. Although I haven't seen any filming photos yet, which I think is interesting. I really want to see what James McAvoy as Lord Asriel looks like.
Yeah, I like to see that too. I wonder if it's just like, they don't have like lots of tourists or fans that are taking photos, or is it like they're being secretive about their filming?
Yeah. I mean, it's, the book is like, popular, but it's not hugely popular. And you know, even Doctor Who, when it came back that first season, I was living in Cardiff when it filmed and I never saw it. And it, like, I don't remember seeing any now afterwards. So maybe for the second season or second series,
right, once people already know about it, they're gonna seek it out.
But right now they're not as invested, even if it is like, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda and James McAvoy, you'd think people would be caring, but
losers.
They're not as excited by filming stuff as we are, even though you'd think in LA we wouldn't be as excited because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's still exciting. That's my next audiobook I have to listen to again.
Well, I hope that it is every bit as beautiful as you hope it is, that you think it will be.
There's some pressure.
Yeah.
I liked the first movie, but we talked about it. My only problem was that changing the ending, or cutting the ending for the next movie, and that the next movie that never happened. Hopefully they won't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so next, I had a review of The First, which is a Hulu and Channel 4 in the UK, which is why it makes it foreign. Woo-hoo! Co-production.
Getting it in.
Yes. And it is about the first manned mission to Mars, except this, it is, but it isn't.
Okay.
So if you expect, if you go into it expecting, and I'm going to talk like not crazy spoilers, but I'm going to talk spoilers. If you go into it expecting a science fiction show, you're going to not like it. And I went into it watching it. Besides knowing it was about the first manned mission to Mars, I knew nothing about it. I didn't really prepare myself for it. So I have to admit that I was a little jarred at first because I was like, wait, what? This is not what I was expecting. It's not, even the actors, when I interviewed them yesterday, actually said this is not going to be for everybody because it's really heavy drama, but it's also very, very slow. And if you're watching to see people go to Mars, you're going to be watching and waiting. I don't know if I'm going to tell my parents they should watch it.
Really?
Because for those who don't know, my dad works on the Mars projects for NASA. And they gobble up anything science fiction. I can't decide. Mm-hmm. I think they probably would like it. Because the best thing I can say to describe it is, if anyone's ever seen From the Earth to the Moon, there's an episode, and I can't remember, it's been a really long time since I've watched it, and I haven't, like, referenced it lately, but I think it was called, like, Why We Go, or something like that. And so this is basically a 8-part drama about that. It's more of the, like, behind the scenes, and talking about human exploration, and the argument for it, but it's also talking about the human cost more than anything, because this is the big spoiler, and I do kind of feel like I actually, Catherine, who was reviewing it for us on the site, did say something to me, and it didn't click until just before it happened. I was like, oh, I know what's about to happen. She was like, just think Challenger. Because that is, and it's kind of obvious if you're watching it from a cynical point of view. You look at the crew of the first ship that's supposed to go up in that first episode, and you're like, none of these people are famous. This crew is going to die. And yes, there's an accident, and it almost is exactly what happened to Challenger. Like, it's not the same way that it happened, but it blows up in the way up. And so that was upsetting, and especially because I am the person who I sit and I watch, like, you know, I know the Mars projects, and, you know, my dad's closer to retirement, it's not as much anymore, but I have been watching as they take off, and you get so anxious, and I felt that watching it, even when I realize what's probably about to happen, and then it does happen, and it's so upsetting, but it does, so there's dealing with the human cost, and the price you have to pay. And it's really interesting because there's so much human drama and outside of it. Because it does follow the families of the astronauts.
Okay.
Sean Penn stars in the series, which, you know, is kind of problematic. There's actually a scene where his, like, wife duct tapes him to something, and I was like, have they not heard about what happened to Madonna? Like, isn't this a stupid thing to do?
That's,
I was like,
weird.
That felt really bad.
Especially now. Especially, you know, post.
I actually, like, I was like, I can't say anything in the interviews, but I was like, that seemed like a really dumb thing to put in there. But anyway, so yeah, Sean Penn is the lead, but I think what's interesting is his story is not the one you care about. It really isn't. It is in the way it relates to his daughter. He has a daughter. And she has problems with drugs. Oh. And so there's a lot where they deal with what it means for him to go. Because as opposed to what we're actually probably going to do when we go to Mars, which is send people there knowing that they're unlikely to come back.
Right.
This series assumes that they are.
Okay.
And there are provisions set for them to come back. So it's only supposed to be a 2.5-year commitment, because it's like 7 to 8 months to get there and back. And then there's the time that they'll spend on the planet, obviously. So it's, can he leave her for 2.5 years? And the most interesting thing is, so they have different stories for each of the other astronauts that go. And it's funny because I noticed this, but the actress who played the character didn't actually get it. There's another character who, there's a story with her and her husband of whether or not, like, she should get pregnant, whether or not she should have children.
Oh.
And it's like, it was interesting to me that there's that question, and it's like, he's got a daughter, and yes, she's grown, but she's got problems.
Uh-huh.
And there's never there is a question of whether or not he will go, but you always know he's going to.
Right, right.
And only one person really calls him on it. Uh-huh. And even then, it's not really. But at the same time, it's for the woman, yeah, there is the, okay, but your husband wants you to stay home and have a child. And,
right.
You know. Yeah, and it's so hard to talk about it without talking about spoilers. I'm like talking around it, but Natasha McElhone, she's kind of the second lead.
Oh, okay.
She plays like the Elon Musk character. In fact, it was funny because when I interviewed her, she actually almost called the company in this show SpaceX. And she started laughing. She's like, and I was like, Vista? Because that's what, but it is. It's obvious that's who she's supposed to be. And it is interesting. Like, I like the way they treat it because this takes place in the near future. So it's, I think, 2030 is when it starts in 2033. So it's not too crazy.
Right.
But there is, the way it treats women is really good.
Okay.
Because it gives them, even though it goes into, obviously, problems like that, like the question of
whether she should go or have staying a child.
And have, having kids. At the same time, the women are all treated equally.
Okay.
There's never really, so much so that there are, I did two interviews with the actress who plays Sadie, whose name I'm not remembering right now, but and Lisa Gay Hamilton.
Okay.
And then Natasha McElhone. And the actress who plays Denise, Sean Penn's daughter.
Okay.
And it was interesting because the Lisa Gay Hamilton and with Hannah Ware, they were able to look at it more from the perspective of, yes, you're looking at the near future and you want to ignore these things, but at the same time, you are watching it now.
Right.
And you can't ignore the realities of these characters and where they are. Whereas Natasha McElhone, they wanted to be like, well, no, it's the future, and that's the... It's like, yeah, but you have to... Like, it's now.
Right.
We're watching this now.
Yeah.
These are the things you notice.
It's still affecting us now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, but yeah, so we've... The one thing I will say is, the series starts because it's dealing... I like the way it deals with all these issues later, but the way it starts... It felt like a paint-by-numbers of emotional manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say that right now. Mm-hmm. Because you kill the crew. Are we going to take away the space program?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the drug daughter. You've got the mystery of... the druggy daughter. The mystery of what happened to the wife.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the queer woman of color who's the commander, who's then replaced by the white male... white straight male.
Right.
And that's, like, hardly... Like, it's weird. They hit... Like, it feels like they're hitting buttons.
Right.
But once you get past that, it's much better.
And how far did you get into it?
There's 8 episodes. I watched all 8.
Okay.
It takes time to get invested, but by the end of it, I was like, is there going to be more? Because I could see this being the finish of it. I could see this being a complete story. But it does sound like they intend to do more. And it's, as somebody who comes from the, like, I love science fiction, obviously I'm invested in the Mars programs and everything. I started the program, it being like, I want more of the science. By the end of it, I was like, I don't even care if I never see, like, I don't want the astronauts to die, but I actually don't even care if that's the story next time.
Oh.
I actually want to see more of the characters that's seen on Earth.
Oh, okay.
Than anything. I think they will obviously...
Show Mars.
Show more. Because, spoiler alert, you see in the screen grab for the final episode, it's a picture of Sean Penn and Lisa Gayjoy in their astronaut garb. Like, so it's obvious that the series ends with them going up. But yeah, the human drama was what was more compelling. It's a story we don't get so often. And I did, Laz, who is the SpaceX Elon Musk leader, I identified with her the most. There's a really great scene where she's kind of justifying it because they're still trying to fight for funding. And she's justifying it to, a reporter who has been critical of the program, and it's basically, you know, he calls her out on it of, you feel like if you can convince me, you can convince anyone, because I'm a skeptic.
Right.
And it's true. And she says straight out, and she's like, people may look at this and think I'm being unsympathetic, but the human cost is worth it. This is a program, it's always been this way. Mm-hmm. As horrible as the tragedies are that have happened in the space program, they're important. And it's not even just the space program. Any time humans mm-hmm. have tried to explore,
right.
there are losses. But it's part of human nature. It's too important a thing to give up. There's actually a really great episode mm-hmm. of The West Wing that deals with it as well. Although that's just, they lose a lander, which yeah. is something that actually happened. And it is so important mm-hmm. to look at that. But it is, she says, yes, if these five people died, that would be awful. Mm-hmm. But we would still have to keep going. Mm. And it's, their lives it's worth the cost. It's, yeah, right. I don't know. That's what I like about it. Mm-hmm. It gives a really good, compelling story.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, it is slow. But it gives a compelling story about these characters and the reasons that they do it. And it doesn't shy away from the problems. Mm-hmm. But it also is, it's just honest yeah. about it. It doesn't glorify it.
Right. It sounds like it's had a more nuanced take.
Which is yes. good. I think it's, and I know some people were a little skeptical about the show at first because it's from the creator of House of Cards, and some people don't really like, I haven't watched House of Cards.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he does a great job of mm-hmm. with the women. I really think,
yeah.
and I think that's important. And just all of it. Like I said, in the end, I saw it as a story, like, maybe that's what I wanted to see, but I saw it as a story, and I thought Matt agreed with me about really strong women. Mm-hmm. They're given even, like, I almost ignored Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Even though he is the star.
Right.
That's
like me with House of Cards, where I just ignored Kevin Spacey.
Which, it makes the new series that's gonna work great for you, right? Yeah, I think the conceit of just being, like, that the women at this point in time are so equal. Mm-hmm. I can't help but see that and still, like, latch onto the fact that, like, I'm gonna notice that the women are equal, and that's not something we get now.
Right.
But at the same time, that's so refreshing that it's, because it's never really addressed. Mm-hmm. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard. I'm terrible at reviewing things. I've always said that. But I think the most important thing is it's not going to be for everybody. It's right. very slow. You have to really want to, like, put your heart into it.
Yeah.
And I can't decide if I think it would be better to just power through in a short time or if watching it over a longer period of time would be better. I watched it over 3 days, okay. but I had to.
Yeah.
So I think that helped in a way. Mm-hmm. Once you get past, like, the middle, I think is when it's like, okay, no, I'm in now. Sounds and like, by the end of it, yeah. I wanted to see, and I will admit, because she wasn't connected to the science part, mm-hmm. Denise's character, his daughter, is probably the most difficult character for me to care about. Mm-hmm. But there's the relationship between her and Laz by the end of it is really interesting, and they're actually the ones I want to see the most. Like I said, they're the ones who are left on Earth.
Right.
That have been developed the most.
Interesting.
So they're the ones I actually want to see most of where it goes from here.
Well, I definitely feel more interested in seeing it now than I did before you started yeah. talking about it. So I guess you did your job.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, like I said, even the actors said this isn't going to work for everybody.
Right.
But I think it's getting rave reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, people have pointed out the slow, but it is, yeah.
I think it's really compelling. What do you feel about what she feels, Angela?
I don't know. It sounds dark. I'm a simple soul. What can I say?
You're just like, I just want my goodness.
Interesting, and it would be a good one that, like, John would watch, probably. Mm-hmm. He doesn't watch a lot of TV, but, like, so I'm going to be watching it with him. Like, we try.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Like, once, sometimes to have something, so then maybe I would do it, but I don't. Yeah, I like happy things most of the time.
Yeah.
So.
And this is real human drama, so it's probably going to be, like,
Not that happy?
Yeah.
Sad. It will be sad. But hey, at least they get to
it's,
Mars.
It's sad, but at the same time, it's optimistic.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I think so. Yeah. One small step for man, etc.
Yes. It's a fairly diverse
cast? It is, but it isn't.
I know Keiko.
It's Ajina a lot of women
from Gilmore Girls is in
yes,
it.
Yes, she's in it.
Yeah. So that is of interest to me.
I like her story because it's they don't focus because she is married and she has two children and she has a mother who is she has Alzheimer's or some kind of and. There's never, because there is a, like, they all have to be like, okay, you have to commit, you want to go, you have to fight this to get the money, and you have to be, like, fully committed to this idea that you may never come back, because something happens that lowers their chances, which is funny, because it's like, it makes it a 1 in 5 chance they won't come back. Yeah, I'm like, that's still 80%, yeah. I'm like.
You're like, I'm fine. Yeah, 80% like, chance I'm gonna live? That's like day to day.
At first I thought I was I know, right? At first I thought I was misunderstanding, but I'm like, no, that's what they're saying. Like, that's what they keep repeating, and I'm like, that's not that bad. That's really not that bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. Unless I'm misunderstanding the way unless it means they're not a 1 in 5 chance they're not gonna come back means
there's a 20% chance they don't come back.
There's a 20 that's not that bad.
Yeah.
There's probably
y'all be fine, crybabies.
I know, right? But anyway, with her, there's never a her father never says you have two children, you shouldn't go, or her husband never says you have two children, you shouldn't go. It's more of a, I have to focus on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take care of your mother as well.
Oh,
so there's that question.
Okay.
But he never is like, don't go because you have two kids, you have to help raise.
Right.
It's no. Yeah.
That's okay. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I did really like it, and I hope there's more. I'm sure there will be. It, like I said, it's getting rave reviews.
Yeah.
And if they stick to mostly the human drama, there's not out that much special effects you put into it.
That's what, Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's on Hulu, apparently, now, by the time we put this on.
It's, they just have the episode previews, but by the time this goes up, it'll be up.
By the time this goes up, it will be up. So yes, it is. It's streaming on Hulu, and in the coming days, whenever that is, I will have interviews with Hannah Ware and Lisa Gay Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And Natasha McElhone and Melissa George.
Woo!
So there you go.
Very nice.
Yes. All right. Now it's time for the K-Drama Corner.
Oh my goodness. All right,
so you had something you really wanted to tell us, and we needed to know how we thought about it.
Yes.
So what is this?
So I'm talking about, obviously I'm talking about My ID is Gangnam Beauty, because I'm obsessed with it, and it's ending this weekend, so everyone should watch it, because it's so good. Okay. And like I had told you before, and I've sort of told Angela, like, I really like that it's like investigating or talking about, like, you know, double standards in Korea, but also universally of, like, how women should look and, you know, how men treat women being valued as objects, etc. Okay. So I really like that, and it's all great. But then in episode 13, I think it was, like, last week's episodes, there was, like, some weird, and I didn't realize it was product placement when I was watching, because I wasn't reading the label, because it's in Korean.
Yeah.
But there's a character named Sua. And she is the, like, the mean girl of the series, right? So basically she's like an egomaniac. She has to be the center of attention, and she's got to be the most beautiful, etc.
Okay.
So if she's not at any given moment, she must do something to change that.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where it's revealed that she, like, takes diet pills.
Okay.
Even though she's, you know, before been like, oh, I just don't know. I just never gain weight. I can eat whatever I want, and I, you know, don't gain weight. And it's just like, it's actually concerning to me or whatever. Right?
Oh, geez.
So then when I watched the scene, I was like, oh, she's taking diet pills. So clearly she's lying, right? She's obviously very concerned. And then she's like standing on the scale. And then later in that episode, you find out she's bulimic. So I was like, well, this is all painting the picture of, you know, Sua's obviously a liar and also has deep emotional problems relating to her looks. Yeah. But because they didn't like, blur it out. It's product placement, I think, right? Like, you show it, so it's product placement. So, like, they're getting paid to show that diet pill. And I was like, this is, like, weird to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're promoting this diet pill in a show that is about, you know.
Unless it's a fake one.
Right. And I think it's real. Because someone just found that it was
somebody
real.
Somebody found out
it was real. Yeah. But on the other hand, I'm like, is anyone going to watch this and be like, I want to do what Sua does? You know what I mean? So, like, I was like, what is that? Like, why would someone pay you to put it in that scene to begin with? Like, take these diet pills and be bulimic.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I don't know how obviously it works there,
mm-hmm.
but you can actually put
a real product in here. Usually, without them having paid you for it. Usually, though, I think you have to, like, it's in your best interest to run it by the...
Right.
That person, because if they're like, well, you disparaged our name or whatever, they can come and sue you.
Right.
So, yeah, you'd assume that if it wasn't blurred out and it's a real thing, they had to have paid for it. Otherwise, they're going to come after him.
Right. Because like,
you said it was a bad thing.
I felt like it was a negative. I watched it, I was like, well, that looks negative to me. So
that's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be like Diet Coke going on and like paying to have a character talk about how it's terrible for you and it makes you gain weight.
Right.
Like, because that's opposite. I mean, right. It's not as bad as a diet pill, but it's the opposite of what you're going to want.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think about this, Angela?
That's really weird.
The diet pill or the product placement?
Yeah, like if it is, does that, is it product placement? And then if so, like what was the, what were they going for? Like I can't, you know, tweet them and be like, what were you thinking? So because
that's really weird.
Did they blur it out?
No, they didn't blur it out. They didn't blur it out. Or at least
it was probably product placement.
Yeah, it's so like.
Because they will absolutely blur things they don't have product placement for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll, once in a while you'll see people in K-dramas with, like, the logos on their shirts blurred out.
Yes.
Or, like, phones and laptops will have, like, tape over where you know the logo would be.
Yeah.
So they would not be showing the logo if they weren't paid for it.
Right. So that's what's so weird to me. Like, why would the diet pill pay for that? And then why would they, you know?
Yeah, that's where it's strange.
Because it's still brand recognition.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's, like, a semi-negative association, and maybe it wouldn't seem as negative in Korea. Like, they have a very different approach.
Right.
Which is kind of what my idea as Gangnam Beauty is about.
Right. Like, that is what it's about.
It's much more normal.
Yeah, and obviously I can't see what, like, because, like, the netizens, as they're called, like, they go on some other thing, like, called Naver or whatever. Like, I don't really see what they say. So all I'm seeing is what international people say. So, like, and most people didn't even notice it, but, like, a couple, like, I only noticed it because a couple people mentioned it, and obviously the people that mentioned it were like, why would they do this? That is bad. Yeah. And then I was just like, oh, I thought they were just saying, like, look, Sue is a liar and also has problems. And, like, yeah, but they didn't blur it out. And I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't reading the label,
it is,
but...
It's really weird. It's really weird. It might be, I mean, yeah, it does make me wonder if now the diet pill company is pissed off, but it definitely makes me think that, like, they were forced to work it in somehow, and they just did.
Right.
Like, that's in King of Dramas, and also Temperature of Love, both star, like, the female leads are, like, drama writer assistants.
Okay.
And in both of them, they're... you know, stuck with the annoying task of having to write the PPL, that's the term they use in Korea.
Right.
PPL into the drama, like, awkwardly. so it might just be some really frustrated assistant just did that. They were like, fine, this is what I'm gonna do. And maybe either the company's mad, I don't think they'd risk pissing them off. Maybe they are. I just, K-drama production, but behind the scenes, speaking of messes, this is our mess podcast, but they would be giant messes.
Yes. Yes. That is what they seem to be.
Or they just don't care. The company doesn't care. They're like, it still is our name on a product and people are gonna...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I was watching... I showed my roommate the first episode of the show, and by the end of it, she was like, we should go to Korea so that I can get plastic surgery! And I was like, that's what you got out of this!
Well, and that's actually the other thing I was gonna say, was maybe they knew what it was gonna be, but it was like, yeah, but this is still our culture, and this show isn't going to change anything, so we just want our product mentioned.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, she may be bulimic, but that makes her hot
but she
and
looks
thin,
good.
And this is how she did it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, so that was like, that's like the show's one flaw so far, and I was like, why did this happen to me? It was going so well, but...
Really, we're surprised that there isn't some big plastic surgery company that does PPL in this show.
Right. Like, yes, I got it at this clinic.
Yeah.
So true. I think there's another, there's like some drink, there's also a drink that they're doing, but I don't understand it, because it's just like, someone is drinking this drink, and I don't know what this drink does, anything about this drink.
There's definitely that one brand of water.
Oh, yeah? Well, there you go. That brand of water. maybe that's what they're drinking. I don't know. I'm just like, oh, they're drinking. They keep focusing on this drink. I guess it's... I guess it's some kind of product placement. But anyway, so watch Gangnam Beauty and then don't buy that diet pill. That's
please take yes. it as the this is a bad thing to do to yes, your body.
Take it as a negative. But yeah, other like I also just started Ghost Detective and 100 Days My Prince. Those are the new dramas that are up right now. So if you want something light and cute and fluffy with, you know, the Joseon era and princes who get amnesia and girls who have to
they like amnesia survive, yes! huh?
yes. And girls who have to marry them to avoid getting beaten, then you should watch 100 Days My Prince.
Heartwarming, lighthearted yeah. story.
Yeah. It's like the prince, because he hates his marriage and he doesn't want to be married, he just then declares that everyone has to get married. Like, well, if I had to get married, everyone has to get married. Everyone in the village who's marriageable must do it so that the rain will come back or whatever. But he just said that because he hates everybody. And then he goes and gets himself amnesia because someone in the palace is trying to kill him, right? And then he winds up being the person that this girl marries so that she can avoid the punishment from his own, you know, his own rule.
Yes.
So, whoops. And it seems really lighthearted because I feel like the standard Joseon answer to that would be to kill her.
Right? But I'm pretty
like,
sure she's...
When he reassumes the throne, they're like, we can't have you with this girl, so we'll just kill her.
It definitely feels like, I will say it feels more like Moonlight Drawn by Clouds. That's what the vibe I'm getting. But with an age-appropriate female lead.
Short for him being lower class.
No, I don't. Well, actually, she's actually not. See, okay. Of course, they knew each other as children.
Oh, of
and of course, her father was. Yeah. Her father was a quote unquote traitor, but not really. Really, his father was the traitor, and that's how his father became the king, because his father killed her father.
Oh, of course.
Blah, 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 okay. blah, blah. So, actually, she's like the same as him, but now he's the prince. So, when they were kids, they were the same. But they don't. He doesn't know that because he's got amnesia, and she probably doesn't know that because she doesn't realize that dude was the prince.
Yeah.
Because at the time he wasn't the prince. Okay, you get it. Anyway, yes. so yeah, it definitely feels like
that I can't participate well in K-drama corner because I don't live watch. So I'm like,
that's okay. You can tell.
I know all the shows you're talking about, but I have nothing to say because I have not seen them.
Well, you can always talk about the ones that you have watched that were good that people should watch.
I just finished Walk of Love, and I'm OT3ing it really hard. Although, like, it's depressing because in the last couple episodes, because mm-hmm. they wanted to, like, do the romance, you have, like, the two leads that did the romance, and then they give the second male lead, like, his own other stories, which are, like, nice and sweet and fulfilling, but, like, the dynamic between the two of them was, or the three of them was a big part of the whole drama,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, 38 episodes, I mean, 38 half-an-hour episodes, but still a longer right. hour-long episodes drama. Like, that was it. Their three-way dynamic was, like, a huge part of the drama. It, like, developed and grew into this thing, and then it's just, like, dropped in the last couple episodes entirely.
Sad!
And, like, not in a way where he's ever, like, sad because he's lost and he's gone off. They just, I think they didn't want to do that, so instead they just gave him different scenes doing different things.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, why are you doing this to me?
That's sad. I feel like...
But it was the food porn drama that I got to watch since I boycotted Let's Eat 3.
I heard Let's Eat... Like, yeah, I heard the ending was really unsatisfying.
End, right?
Yeah. It was, like, inconclusive, unsatisfying.
Well, that wasn't really anybody's fault, though.
Yeah, because he had to go to the actor got called away to military duty, basically.
Oh, that's so they had awesome. Just,
like, he got called to Army duty, like, the end of the week.
Yeah.
Basically got his notice, and he had, like, 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous.
Like, done filming the drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but what can you do?
Yikes.
Well, you can ask for an extension,
mm-hmm.
but only once or twice, and he'd already asked for one before because of an injury.
Mm.
So, like, really the story is if you are approaching, because you haven't, when you're in Korea, there's an age by which you must have completed your service. So I feel like the moral of this story is that you should not take any jobs that are getting close to your, like,
right.
expiration date.
Your expiration
yeah.
date!
No, yeah, like, and maybe the production company. Yeah.
Like, that's a story in dramas a lot. Like, you'll see a guy in college, he's enrolled in classes for the year, and he gets his enlistment letter, and he has to go.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
They do that, so...
Oh my god! Well, I'm gonna spoil this, but I thought it was so cute. So, that actually, that happened in Gangnam Beauty. Like, one of the girls, this guy that liked her, he, like, confesses to her because he just got his army duty notice, so he's leaving for the army. And then she starts crying in the middle of the cafeteria. She's like, why would you tell me this now? You're leaving! What is this? And then someone walks by and they're like, why is she crying over him? He must be rich. I was like, oh. Jeez. Because he's not that cute. That's all. Aww. End of story.
That does. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
But yeah. Or you could be like Park Seo-joon and just do it first. Do your army duty before you do anything else, and then you're done.
Well, and Yoon Sung-ho, who was in I'm Not a Robot.
Yes.
He was a child actor. He had a couple dramas. He was, like, building up steam, mm-hmm. but he was still, like, young. Mm-hmm. And then so he went and did it. So he was, like, famous when he left, but he still did it young. He was, like, 20 or so when mm-hmm. he enlisted, and then he came back, and now he's back. And he's doing it.
No, there you go.
There you go. That's the smart thing. Just get it out of the way on your own schedule.
The reason Park Seo-joon did it already is because most Korean guys do it when they graduate high school.
Right.
And so a lot of them will enlist with their friends. So he, like, enlisted because he wasn't an actor yet. Like, he enlisted and then went to college. And I think I saw, like, a variety show with him. And he was, like, he started acting because his friends were interested in acting.
Sucks to be his friends.
And then, so he tried it out and guess he was better at it than them.
Whoops. Yeah. Hate when that happens.
So a lot of the guys who have already done it have done it because they weren't famous until after. A lot of the guys, because, you know, you start, so many of them are K-pop stars, right? And mm-hmm. they get in that factory when they're, like, young.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And then they want to, like, eke every last minute out of it. So that's why. With stars, you don't tend to see them leave until their late 20s, but normal people usually do it.
Normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's true, like, for, I can understand, you know, that. Like, yeah. Usually when you're going to enlist here, you do it at, like, 18.
Edward, did you see, I was going to message you about this, but I didn't, Jo Kung Kyung-ho is confirmed for a drama, and Yoona is in talks to be.
I saw that, and I was so excited.
It sounds like a romance.
And I was like, please, please, God, it's all I want. Yoona is the main girl from Queen and Yin's Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's older. Like, I'm so excited. She's actually close to his age. Because I just saw, I got so excited because Choi Soo-bin is in a new drama with Lee Ji-hoon from Signal.
Okay.
And then I was like, she seems like 10 years younger than him. And I looked it up and she is 10 years younger than him.
Surprise.
And he's playing like 29, even though he's like 34. And I'm like,
which, that's not that horrible.
I know,
that's not a big difference. But no, 10 years is a big difference.
But then she's playing 27, even though she's right. like...
She's a child. I mean, she's not a child, but...
She's young.
Yeah.
It makes me angry. You've got...
There are plenty of older actresses.
We can rage about it if we do a full K-drama episode.
Well, I'm kind of curious to go on a, like, weird tangent. Because mm-hmm. I was actually having this conversation last night with somebody who was really excited about A Discovery of Witches.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. we ended up getting onto the topic of, okay, but is it weird when it's a 300-year-old vampire and the 17-year-old witch?
Yes. The answer is yes.
But what's funny is why does it not always feel like, because they're just humans, mm-hmm. they're like playing these characters. It doesn't usually, as long as they don't look that far apart, it doesn't seem to bother me as much. Although in this one, I think actually Matthew Good does kind of look,
he looks old. But yeah, okay, so for me, it's like, I guess it's always bothered me, like, because from the, you know, like, Twilight or whatever, I guess when I was a youngin', and things were coming out, right? Yeah. And I was always, I don't know what it is, I don't know why. I mean, I guess just because I know that he has, like, however much life experience that she does not have. Or, like, because they bring it up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they didn't bring it up, or if, what would be a way that I wouldn't, I guess if she was also a magical creature.
She's a witch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, so if she's a witch, then I guess it's, like, but it's not like she doesn't have, like, just because she's a witch doesn't mean that she possesses, like.
She's not going to be immortal, I would assume. I've never read the book, so
I would assume she's immortal, and she doesn't, like, possess automatically the knowledge of her ancestors
because,
or whatever.
Because somebody then brought up Angel and Buffy.
Yeah. That's creepy, too. I didn't like Angel and Buffy either.
Potentially, like, some of it is power dynamics.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they go into that a little bit with, you know.
I never thought of it with Angel and Buffy. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't bother.
But then also, she's the Slayer.
Right.
So the power dynamics aren't as
So she could kill him. So yes. that does help bring it back.
The problem in Discovery of Witches is that, like, she won't get her power. This is in the book. I don't know about the show. But, like, she won't get her powers until she gets married. Like, her mom, like, suppressed her or something.
Really?
So, like, she's not on an even power playing field.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
That's that would be weird. I hope they don't do that. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, why? Yeah. No, I can't get your powers until you're married.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to figure out
like
why.
Like your dowry.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why it didn't bother any of me, and I was like, does it have something to do with the fact that, like, I read and was obsessed with Interview the Vampire when I was 14?
That's possible.
And so I'm like, and, like, literally, one of the vampires in that, and in the movie, I mean, what's her face was, Kirsten Dunst is, like...
Oh, yeah.
She was, like, 12.
Yeah.
The character was actually supposed to be, like, 5.
Mm-hmm.
When she died.
Yeah.
Because she's based on Anne Rice's daughter, who died of cancer. And so I was like, is it because I've read those? And because I read then all of her other vampire stories and the Mayfair Witches, who are even more, and like they're even more fucked up, and I actually prefer them. Like, there's like, there's a character in the Mayfair Witches. He's one of the, like, it's mostly women, but he is actually the main, like, witch kind of.
Uh-huh.
And he's like the father of his daughter and his granddaughter, I think.
The father of his daughter. Ew. Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, the father of his daughter, but like he sleeps with his sister. Mm-hmm. He's the father of his niece and his granddaughter. Okay. That's how I should say it.
So he sleeps with his sister and has his niece, and then he sleeps with his niece and has his granddaughter.
Yes,
that's disgusting.
I think that's what it is.
That's so nasty.
Yeah, but for some reason, reading this at 15, I was like, whatever.
You're like, that's cool.
That's fine. I reckon. I mean, and it's not made okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's supposed to be not okay, but at the same time, it is. I mean, Anne Rice, it is eroticized, like, all of her writing.
Right.
That is the way she... So I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, is that why, though, that... I was like, oh, for some reason, that doesn't bother me. In the same way it should.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the same way I look at things and I'm like, okay, how old is, like, Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah.
As opposed to Scarlett Johansson. And mm-hmm. Poor Scarlett Johansson always gets put together with the guys who's, like, 20 or 40 years older than her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. That's what we do.
Not just Scarlett Johansson. It's pretty much
I know.
Female actress.
But yeah.
It's any female actress, but...
But, you know, in the
MCU, you've also got Scarlet Witch and
Vision.
Yeah,
I was about to say, yeah.
Which is funny.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Because the actors, it's the one way, and then if you look at it, the
right,
characters...
Right, the characters, technically, he's two days old. But, but with the actors, it's nasty.
Yeah.
She's like 19 or 20.
Vision partially like the internet?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, he is the internet.
And so he's like a combination of the internet and Jarvis, and they're old.
Yes.
Older.
Yeah.
That's true. But then he's a baby. A good question would be
one of the internet's favorite couples, which is Malik from Shadowhunters.
Yeah. Because he's...
Magnus is like 1,000 years old? Or hundreds of years old? And Alec has more power, like, he's not just a completely normal human, but he's younger.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And yet that doesn't bother me at all.
Well, it's just, when it's the reverse, you know, you're just like, oh, it's different. So.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. I'm like, for some reason, it does.
It's all about context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's about maturity levels to an extent.
Yeah.
Which is hard because people could argue. I mean, I have different impressions of characters' maturity levels, right?
Yeah, but I think that you can, like, tell, like,
so
there's concrete...
Speaking about K-dramas, because they literally play her like a high school student.
I just, like, was thinking, I'm like, does that mean no, like, literally, Cap can never be with anybody except Bucky? Because literally everybody, or unless he's gonna date, like, an actual 100-year-old woman.
Yes! There you go.
What we do in the shadows?
Huh? Oh, what we do in the shadows? Yes, there you go. That's you.
But yeah.
No, because Cap doesn't count because he was frozen for that time.
True. So his experience is still...
But, well, okay, so then Bucky can't because he was unfrozen for more of the time.
Yeah, that's true. Bucky can't with anybody.
How long was he frozen for?
Huh?
That's the question. Because they kept refreezing it.
Yeah.
Right, and also,
you
does that brainwashing time count? Does brainwash time count?
Yeah, brainwashed, I don't know.
Because he doesn't actually, you know...
He didn't develop as, like, he didn't grow as a person.
Those aren't his experiences.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he did a job, and then they froze him again.
Yeah.
So it's like, how much total time was he unfrozen?
Yeah, no, he was...
We gotta calculate it before we can ship him with anyone. there's a window.
And then you're gonna see them and be like, okay, well, age appropriate, here's the woman who's actually 70, and you're like, ew, that's gross. Because it's still Chris Evans and a 70-year-old woman or something,
yes!
And you're like, no!
I wanna see it. It's what I deserve. Harold and Maude, but...
Oh, I hate that movie.
Not Steve and Peggy still.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Steve and Peggy in her old makeup. Do it.
Steve and Peggy in her old makeup, but she's dead now, but...
He has a second chance with Avengers 4, right? They're going to time travel. He can...
Yeah, we
assume. Time travel's at least back to the first Avengers movie, so he can be like, instead of saving New York, I'm going to go to this nursing home.
Yeah. Anyway, just a thought. I was like... Because it was appropriate since we had that. I literally had that conversation last night and I was like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. But yeah, Harold and Maude. I have so many friends mm-hmm. who love that movie and I finally watched it and I was like, this is so cringeworthy. I was so uncomfortable. It's like, this is not appropriate. If it wasn't like ever made sexual, it's fine.
Right.
But they do hint at that and you're like, ugh. So gross. And it wouldn't be okay if it was an old man or a young woman either. It's so gross. So I guess if they look young, I don't care.
If as long as they look young, you're terrible. Lookism. Ageism. Something.
Age appearances.
But then you're not supposed to take Misfits seriously, so.
Oh my god, Misfits. That's right. Oh my god. That was nasty.
Yeah. And it was a consent issue as well.
Yeah, no, it was a consent because he didn't know, exactly. Because she looked like a young girl. Yeah.
Right.
That's not cool.
Everybody who slept with Melisandre.
Yep.
They don't know.
Yep, consent.
Gross. Ugly old and, woman with a guy.
Do you remember when they made her, like, rape Gendry? Jesus. Yeah. Horrible. Horrible times. Anyway. I'm still scarred. Okay. What are we talking about?
Now, after my tangent, I think we're done. Thank you for joining us. As always, find news, reviews, interviews. Hey, of the first, I have interviews coming.
Yes.
Like I said, on withanaccent.com and follow us at withanaccent on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, and withanaccent TV on YouTube, which New York Comic Con will have new interviews coming not that far away, because it will be far away, but it's not that far away.
So soon. Sooner than you expect.
Anyway, don't you have Paley stuff that's coming up soon, too?
Yes, Paley stuff's coming up this weekend.
And then follow the podcast at Pop a la Carte Pod on Facebook and Twitter.
Do it.
Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
Bye.